Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord again. It's good to see all of you here. Can we give another hand clap for our brother Aaron? Now, if you asked to summarize the whole year, I don't know how good you would do. That says two things. One, he's a regular attendant. And second, he takes notes. How many of you are regular attendants and used to take notes? I'm also sure maybe he went on the website to try to reminisce, but that's okay. We are glad to be here at this very last Sunday of the year. How many are glad to see it? How many are not glad to see it? How many were so blessed this year that you don't want this year to end? You just want to stay in 2019. Oh, wow! Wow, that's great. I had the privilege to be chosen to reflect a little bit about this last Sunday of the year. And we don't have time because today we had Holy Communion and many other things. So we'll try to learn something very quick. And it's very fitting that the eldership chose to have Holy Communion on such a day where we remember that we are all connected. There is no place where we learn humility as the table of Holy Communion, because it's a great equalizer. Whether we are great, whether we are small, whether we are rich, whether we are poor, educated with many certificates, traveled, or whether we are just locals, we come to the same table. And there's nothing that equalizes as a table where we eat and share the same meal. And it's a great reminder as we end this year that we all belong to the same body, to the same Christ, and we are thankful that we can do that. Now, I say Merry Christmas to you who were not here last Wednesday. How many of you were here last Wednesday for Christmas? Ah, wonderful. It was great. We had some great time. And I'll say Happy New Year in advance. For those who will not see before next year, see you next year. I think we can start saying that. And we are glad to be back. Now, it's very difficult to choose a topic on the very last Sunday of the month. Should we talk about New Year's resolution? Should we look back in retrospective, like what Brother Aaron has just done? What is it that we can learn from and be able to walk in this new year with freshness? Now, there's a lot of parties going on. If you go to the market, it's crazy. I don't know how many of you have gone to Birere this week. Don't try. I mean, you can try after, you know, New Year. But there's something that happens at the end of the year that they put things on sale. And there's a rush of people wanting to buy things cheaper. And spiritually, you find that happening. People want to make the last prayer that will make a difference. People want to make the last giving that will make a difference. People want to do the last thing that we think this time, this one, will make the difference. So the last reading. But today we want to learn, after spending in a few days, 365 days and 6 hours walking with God, our topic today is what lessons do we learn from our walk with God. So we're going to look at some lessons that we can learn. What can we learn and draw from our journey, a journey with God this year? We have journeyed with God. We have walked with Him. What can we learn? There's no better place to look at as in the Old Testament as we see the children of Israel walking with God. From Egypt to the desert for 40 years and entering into the land of Canaan. So this morning we're going to choose a text where the children of Israel have left Egypt, have walked 40 days in the desert, and they are at the point of entering Canaan. Moses, who was the great leader, will not go with them, and he decides to give them a summary of all the law that he has taught us. And it is summarized in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy For those who speak French, you know there is the word deux, two, which means the second law. That's Deuteronomy. It's the law said again, the law retold. And Moses summarizes all the law that he has told the children of Israel for many years, and he puts it in one book of Deuteronomy. So turn with me in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to read verse 1 through 14. For those who may think that I'm going very fast, it's because I'm also looking at time, and we don't want to keep you here very long, and the French people will also be coming in. So please bear with me if we can run through this very fast. So turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to read 1 to 14. I'm reading from the African Study Bible. The Bible says, be careful to obey all the commandments I'm giving you today. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness to these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and to your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone, rather we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commands of the Lord and your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, and mountains and springs of gush out in the valleys and the hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevine, fig tree, and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone, and copper is as abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, and be sure to praise the Lord your God and for the good of the land has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Be careful that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large, and your silver and gold has multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. That's the word of God. Amen. Now, as I said, Moses is giving the last warning to the children of Israel and telling them, be careful in the land where you are entering. Remember, these people have been slaves for 400 years. So they do not have an experience of living as a free people. Remember that they need to get food after working very hard. But now they are going to live in a life of abundance. And Moses is warning them about this new freedom and this new abundance, and about the decrees that the Lord has given them. He's telling them that you came from poverty, from slavery, and I have delivered you. But as you enter this land, please do not forget the Lord your God and where you come from. Now, something interesting here. God is speaking to Israel and saying, remember. But if you read from the text, you will see that most of the people who left Egypt by this time had died. And I think there were only two that had remained, or three, I don't know the exact number. But God is speaking to them like he's speaking to one person. And here we find that God is speaking to the children of Israel as the nation and not the individual people. So the message he communicated to their forefathers, to their fathers, is the same message he's repeating. He's seeing the children of Israel as a nation, as a people. So that's the same way I'm addressing you today. I know that you have your particular circumstances and different things that happen in your life. But I want to speak to you as a people of God, as a nation, and as God is saying to you. So let's look at five lessons that we can learn from the journey of God and being inspired by the journey of the children of Israel. Lesson number one, we learn that God chooses the path and the experiences of our lives. God is the one who chooses the path we take and the experiences we go through. We may agree or we may disagree, but that's the truth. We may not like it or we may like it, but that's how things happen. The children of Israel left Egypt wanting to go to Canaan. They thought they would be there in 11 days, but they ended up spending 40 years meandering in the desert to get to their destination. And God chose that path because he had things to teach them. We see that in verse 2, that the Lord led the children of Israel into the desert. Now, many things have happened to your life. There are things that you may have seen and you see, this cannot be the Lord. Maybe someone important has died, someone close to you, or you lost your business, or you were sick, your health, you know, deteriorated, or whatever happened, and you may say, no, this cannot be God. But we know that God is sovereign. And there's nothing that can happen unless the Lord allowed it to happen to us. So the first wisdom that we learn is that God chooses the path that we take and the experiences that we have. Lesson number two. God sustains and molds us through these paths and experiences. We see that God sustains the children of Israel. They are living in a place where there's no food, there's no water, but God makes sure they have manna. Manna which was a mix of bread and honey. If you want to know how manna, tested, just when you go back home, take some bread and put honey and eat. That's how manna was. Bread and honey. There are some people who are already feeling salivating, but that's okay. But that was the test of manna. And God provided that in the desert. He provided water and he sustained them. And at the same time, he molded them to make them a people. These were slaves. All their mentality was a mentality of slavery. He had to deliver them from that. We see that in verse 2, 3, and 4, where God is saying he wanted to reveal what was in their heart. Hello? Do you know that God knows you so well, but you do not know yourself? We think we know ourselves, but we don't. But God brings circumstances, and those circumstances come to reveal who we are and what is actually in our heart. You may think you are not jealous until you see someone living the life that you are praying for. Have you ever been in that circumstance where God answers someone's prayer and you're like, that's my prayer. I'm the one who prayed that. But God answers it to someone else. You may think that you are not, an angry person until someone does something terrible to you that you are ready to kill. There are things that God takes us through, not so that God can know us, so that we can know ourselves, so that we can know our limitations, so that we can know our hearts. Because only when we are in touch with ourselves, with the core of our being, can God use us. You can think that you don't fear until you get to a place where death is just in front of you. That's when you realize, I am a very fearful person. You can think you are not intimidated until you have sent an email that you are supposed to send to one person and you reply to all. And there is no way you can take the email back. And you are just imagining everyone reading that email and thinking, gosh, what is this? Your world can crumble down. Those circumstances come to reveal us. And what is important is not what happens to you. Is God is teaching you how to react to what happens to you. Amen. A lot of things have happened to us. If we start speaking of painful things and troubling things that we've gone through and blessings, a lot has happened. And we will have an overnight on Wednesday to try to do that. On Tuesday to Wednesday. But God took the children of Israel through this to reveal what is in their hearts. These people who worshipped God, they started cursing Him. These people who said, we are the children of Abraham, they ended up making a golden calf. That God is very far. Let's make our own God. God takes you through circumstances to reveal your heart to you. Who are you and what you are capable of? Lesson number 3. God expects you to work. God expects you to work. If you look in verse 7 and 9, there is a description of this beautiful land. And if you read it, if it's not in the Bible, you may think he's describing the DRC. Just imagine a land of plenty. A land where copper is as abundant as stones. Which country is that? It's this country. And he is describing, if you don't believe me, you can see me after this. He's describing this land of plenty. But you know a detail in that, is that this food he's talking about, it is not that they found it crops ready to be harvested. They had to go and work the land so that the land can produce. So what God did was to make the land fertile. But their work was theirs. And the Bible says that when they harvested for the very first time, manna stopped. Because God stopped providing when they were ready to provide. That's lesson number 3. God expects you to work. Lesson number 4. The proper response to suffering is humility, reflection, and wisdom. When we suffer, some of us suffer very badly and we come out very bitter. But God is teaching through this text, if you look at in verse 3 and 5, that He wanted these people to learn humility and to learn to reflect, to gain wisdom. Have you suffered? Have you gone through things? God expects you to grow in humility, to grow in wisdom. Lesson number 5. The proper response to plenty, to abundance, is gratitude and worship. The proper response to suffering is humility and reflection. And the proper response to plenty and abundance is gratefulness and worship. Verse 12 to 14. When we are blessed and prosperous, pride can crop in and convince us that we did Y, A, B, C, D to become who we are. But we have to learn to be grateful. I will conclude by saying, may the Lord give you the grace to accept the path and the experiences He has chosen for you. May He sustain and mold you and help you to know your limitations, to know your heart, so that you can serve Him better. May He give you the abilities and skills to work and to be productive and to produce abundance. May He teach you humility and help you to reflect deeply on what is happening to you and around you so that you can gain wisdom. May He prosper you and may you learn to be grateful and may you explode in extravagant worship. God bless His word.
Thank you for this message.